Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 83, and I'm Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from La Crescenta.
And David from Hollywood.
And this week in the news, we have that Charlie's Angels has been canceled, along with Memphis Heat. And I'm not surprised by Charlie's Angels. I never watched Memphis Heat.
Memphis Heat was Jason Lee. I think I watched one of
Jason Lee and Alfre Woodard.
It was not bad.
I couldn't get through the pilot.
Yeah, well, it lasted a couple of seasons.
And literally two.
Okay, there you go. And it's now been canceled. The other piece of news I have is that, was it Subgatory? How do you pronounce that?
Subgatory.
Subgatory. Whatever, man. And Revenge have a full pickup all the way through the end of the season. They're not the first shows, but they're in the next group.
And Happy Endings got an order for 6 more scripts.
Okay, I kind of feel bad for the Wayans brother, or is he the son? He's a son. The Wayans son.
You mean Damon Wayans Jr.?
Yeah. I feel sorry for him because he was on New Girl, but his contract for Happy Endings wasn't up.
Was he the one that got off?
Yeah, he was on the pilot.
Because he was going coach. to the other show.
Yeah, because he was contractually obligated to be on Happy Endings.
Because they got a late renewal for season 2.
Okay.
Right. So he got pulled off a show. They got a full season pickup to be on a show that's on the bubble. Mm. So it's kind of like, oh, it sucks to be you, man.
Well, you know.
I wonder if there's a clause with his contract that if Happy Endings gets canceled, he gets to go back on New
Well, I mean, I don't think so.
And the other black guy gets let go.
and that's the thing is, who's the other black guy? I don't even know that guy, who that guy is. Anyway.
Is he wearing a red uniform?
Red
shirt, yeah.
No. The other piece of news I have is that I got to see the opening sequence for Green Lantern cartoon that's going to be on Cartoon Network. And normally, I like my superhero shows, but sometimes Cartoon Networks make them super light, and I'm just, like, too fluffy. I watched the opening sequence. I was like, okay, that's dark. They kill the Lantern in the first 5 minutes. I'm in.
It's interesting because Batman Brave and the Bold went initially for this very kid-friendly thing and then got a little bit more serious, whereas Young Justice from the start has been very serious.
I don't think I'm what's Young Justice?
Young Justice, yeah. They're like the Mission Impossible team for the Justice League, except for the teen heroes.
See, I don't like them when they make my heroes teenagers. All right, the last piece of news I have is about Netflix. Yet again in the news this week. This time, they are backtracking on the whole Quixtar thing. So they're like, we're going to break up into 2 parts. Never mind. Just go about your business. Not going to happen.
Did you see that investor confidence is down because they don't know what they're doing?
Exactly.
So it's the same? They haven't changed?
They're not changing. Okay. So if you have an account, your account will not be split up, at least for right now.
But they are still charging.
What's the minimum? $9 or $10 or something a month for the...
It's still 16.
For streaming plus a DVD. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So it's 16. But the one thing that did make me happy is they just made a deal. So they're making these deals after all the craziness. And one of the deals is that they are adding... They just made a deal with CW. So all the CW shows will now be on Netflix streaming. Half of them in like by the end of the month. And then Supernatural and something else in January. So I don't know why the Supernatural delay. But... So basically, they made a deal for the next 4 years, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty good. So even the shows that are premiered like this year will next year show up on streaming.
I wouldn't be surprised if they waited to do the syndication deal for Supernatural first. That could be it.
Oh, that's why it's going to wait till January?
That's my guess, because I haven't heard about them being syndicated.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, they already made the deal, so it's still going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway... and then related to that, Xbox just jumped into the fray of streaming video. And so they're making a deal with your cable company. So basically the way it works is that if you already have cable, you can watch some of your cable channels on Xbox. But I'm like, my Xbox is connected to my TV, which is connected to my cable. Why? I don't understand why I would want to watch my cable through my Xbox. I don't get that. So that's actually strange.
You have 2 TVs. And you only have 1 box or something, maybe that would work.
It still seems strange.
Or maybe if you go on the road.
With your Xbox.
With your Xbox. Some people do.
I know, that just seems like a strange thing
to
do.
They make carrying cases.
Anyway, so that's all the news stuff that I have. All right, we're going to start with the shows. And what, you have another piece of news?
Yeah, you left out the CW shows.
What's he done? Please tell me. Please.
Secret Circle, Ringer, and Heart of Dixie all got full season pickups.
Oh, cool. Except for Ringer, because I think that show's stupid.
I'm watching it. It's on the wrong network, but I like it. It's interesting. It's not your typical CW show.
What's the right network for it?
Maybe CBS.
Really? Because it seems really cheesy.
That's what they developed it for. Also, development news, David Milch and Stephen Bochco are reuniting, developing a law show for NBC. And also for NBC,
NBC needs help. But
yeah, they do. The Glee Boys, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk, have a put pilot commitment for a half-hour sitcom, and they're not telling us anything about it other than that.
That it's a top secret.
It's top secret. So.
All right. Okay, well, let's go back to doing shows.
Yes.
Show? We're ready for shows. All right. I'm actually really disappointed in that I'm the only one who saw the finale for Breaking Bad, and you all get Fs.
I'm just not caught up yet. I'm on season like 2 or 3 or something.
This was like Breaking Bad had one of the best finales I have seen in quite a while because the title was great because all season we've been waiting for Walt versus Gus because Gus has been just they have made him into like this almost superhero. Like he's such an awesome villain that there was a sniper that was coming at him and he just. You know, the sniper killed like 5 guys, and he just walks up like, "You want me?" You know, he put his hands up. You know, he didn't even actually say anything. He just walked out there where the sniper could shoot him, put his arms up in the air, and like, "Bring it!" And he killed the entire Mexican cartel single-handedly by doing the whole "I've got an immunity to iocane powder defense." And he killed because they were like, they didn't want to. He brought this big bottle to drink, and he's like. And they thought that it was, you know, maybe poison. And he drinks it first. And then they all drink it. And they all die. He has immunity to iocane powder. And he's fine. I was like, that's brilliant. And everything that he's done. Like, last week, Walt tries to kill him with a pipe bomb. And it doesn't work. Because he could sense the fact that somebody's watching him. And there's maybe a bomb under his car.
Spidey sense.
I was like, what the heck? So, Gus has been made of awesome. Like, for the last couple of seasons. He is the only character I've seen on the show that's smarter than Walt, right? So everything's been building up to only one of them can survive. And this week's episode was all of that. It was called Face Off. So it's they finally have the two characters kind of go at it. Though they actually never are in the same room. Because Gus knows that Walt's trying to kill him, so he never puts himself in the same room that Walt's in. But Walt actually came up with a really good plan to figure out, basically pulling on Gus's ego to make Gus show up in a specific location and turning one of Gus's enemies basically into a suicide bomber. It was awesome. And the CGI effect... Well, one, I like the fact that he knew, like Gus knew, that he was about to die. Like the moment, like he realized that the other dude had a bomb right when it was too late for him to do anything about it, which was awesome. And so then the great CGI effect is the room blows up. You see it from outside the room. Then you see Gus standing there and he walks out of the room and you're like, how the heck did he freaking survive that? And then the camera pans around to the other side of his face, and like literally half of his face is gone.
Ooh.
And he's still walking, and I was like, is he the Terminator? Like, what the heck?
El Diablo.
Yeah, it just, you see his bones, his eye is missing, and his jaw, it's like, it was so freaking disgusting, but it was awesome. And he just walks out, and he fixes his tie, and then he drops dead. But that was still awesome. It was really good. And they've actually made... Well, because obviously Walt set that bomb. So they've made it to where he's killing people. But he's done that before. They basically make it seem like he's doing it in self-defense. So they really haven't taken the character anywhere dark by that. However, the last shot of the entire episode reveals that... Jesse and him had become enemies for the last few episodes, and he needed a way to get Jesse back on his side. And Gus has been trying to play them against each other too. And Walt basically convinced Jesse that this kid got poisoned, and at first Jesse thought it was him, right? Then you find out it wasn't him. The big reveal was that Walt actually poisoned a 10-year-old to bring Jesse back on his side. I was like, dude,
that's cold.
It's cold. They've basically made him irredeemable at this point. That there's nothing that you can do to fix this character. He's gone.
But that's the end of the series, right?
No. We have one more season.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, one more season. And yay. All right. I'm just sad that I had to talk about that by myself. All right. Next up, Homeland. This was the second episode.
I love this show.
And?
Just the tension. It's, you know, I was telling my students about it the other day. Basically, she could be crazy, and the answer to that is yes, she is.
She is crazy, basically.
And he could be a mole who's been programmed, and yes, he is, but we don't know what he's been programmed to do exactly.
Right, and he's fighting his programming.
And we don't know how much, if there's a remnant of free will in there.
Right.
If you know the Manchurian candidate, the original...
He was just basically programmed. You turn him on, and he just goes and does what you tell him to do.
Right, but at the end of the Manchurian Candidate, he overcomes his programming.
Right.
And so, I hope that's where they're going, but this being on Showtime, and this being, you know, the 21st century, all bets are off. But
right, and I don't think it's going to be as cut and dry.
Oh, no. Nothing's going to be as cut and dry.
Right, and we see that he's really fighting it. Like, this week, he was basically curled up in a ball trying to fight the programming.
But the thing is, when he clocks that reporter and his kid
sees
it.
Oh, that was awesome.
And then and his wife asks him about it, and he just says, he'll get over it. And then later on he revises that answer. He apologizes to his son. So it's boy, what a great cast. And Claire Danes.
She's the weakness of the show for me.
I thought she was great when she was a kid on My So-Called Life, and then some of the adult roles she's taken, I haven't been as thrilled with.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of a good role for her.
I understand intellectually what you're saying, but I don't particularly like her. I'm in it. Damian Lewis's story is fantastic. I'm definitely in it for that. But her stuff is just so, the craziness of it just doesn't appeal to me.
Interesting. I just think it's kind of fascinating, though, how they're commenting on, you know, the Patriot Act and all the things that have been going on post 9/11.
That's true. That's interesting.
And not necessarily, I mean, you hear both sides. You see both sides.
Right.
She's the extreme example, and then most of the characters she's dealing with are, what are you doing?
Right.
I don't want to go to jail for you because you're crazy.
Right, exactly. All right, so thumbs up, Homeland. Next up is Castle. And this week's episode was one of the more... It kind of got a little more serious, or was it... I can't even remember.
It's the one where the crime was committed with Esposito's gun.
Right, that's why I knew it was serious. But it was actually a good series, because it... The only thing is I hate when they do the previously, because then you know what it is. You know what I mean? So, I really...
That's a double-edged sword, because you have to set it up for the people who haven't watched.
Right.
That's with episodic. You know, you have to set it up for people who want to know the complete story in that episode... But you don't want to spoil it for the people who are watching ongoing.
I understand, and it is a very fine line, yeah. But this week it was like, oh, it's going to be...
Too much.
Yeah, it was a little too much. I felt like, oh, so the killer is this guy. And you knew that... Well, it ended up not being that guy, but it was close. and I like that this week's episode, Castle was really concerned about behaving like a cop, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't quite get what that was about. I mean... maybe it's the dynamic between him and the new chief or whatever, but is he trying to impress her or win her over or something?
I think he's trying to get on her good side.
Yeah.
Well,
this is the first person he hasn't been able to charm, and it's probably driving him insane. It's like, you know, what do I have to do to, you know, I'll act better. I'll be more professional. I'll be less castle-y.
Right. But I think part of it also was... When they were all talking about, you know, he lost his gun, and they all understood immediately what that meant, and Castle didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it was in that moment, he really felt like he wasn't part of the team. And so now he's, like, putting through a concerted effort to think like the team.
But it's kind of interesting, though, because no matter what, he's not a cop. I mean, there's a reason he's got that big sign that says writer when he goes there. So,
but that's kind of, it seems weird to me because they are treating him in some ways like a cop, like he's part of the team and he's, you know, contributing.
Well, he's neither fish nor fowl. Yeah, he's in that middle territory. And that's the thing which the new chief does, is she's always reminding him
of that line.
You may think you're one of us. Okay. We may let you play like you're one of us, but you're not.
And she's baited. She's like, and the governor or the mayor is like, will not necessarily be mayor for very long. So the second that mayor is not mayor anymore, you're gone.
You're out of here.
Yeah, she made that very clear. So he's trying really hard to show that he can contribute. Yeah, but I thought this week it just felt a little like overcompensation. You know, he's like, oh, I'll stay here and go through all the files.
Maybe a little bit. What I thought my favorite moment and reminded me of what we discussed last week is that look between him and I can't think of her name,
and Kate
and Beckett when. And you still don't remember anything from those.
Oh, right.
Nope. And he gives the sly aside.
Obviously, he's like he does not believe her at all. You know, that was a good indication. I just wanted him to show her that face so that she could see the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then this week, they also dealt continuation with the daughter.
Alexis.
About her whole... Stanford and stuff. And I forgot that she was actually graduating early so that she could go to school, and now she's like, okay, I don't need to graduate early. So she actually can wait till next year to apply again to Stanford.
Was she still like going to the school because of her boyfriend or
which I thought was silly.
Yeah,
but
I know women who do.
She's too smart for that though.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd be surprised.
I understand,
no, I but yeah,
Felicity was predicated on that exact same thing.
So you're basing it on television, but no, I'm familiar with that concept.
No, but I've been teaching for 13 years, and trust me, there are some young women who are that into a boy.
I understand.
They would do that.
I understand. Alright, so Castle's good episode?
Sure.
What'd you think about Terra Nova? Terra Nova's up next.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
That was the memory one?
Yes.
So I forgot what... No.
Nice.
No, that was interesting because it highlighted the relationship between the guy and his wife, Amira and what's her name's character's
Jim.
Yeah, Jim and Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know through the what's his name? Not Nathan.
The other scientist guy. I don't know.
Yeah,
his old
relationship with her back into the mix and upset things and.
But it was in an interesting way because I like the fact that she loses her memory. She doesn't remember who the people are or whatever, but I like the fact that she figured out who Jim was. Like she saw that
she
wrote
was
everything
smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah, she wrote everything down and she kind of was like, I can see it. You know, and you know what I mean? So, like, she's like, you were important to me, and then she figures out that's her husband, and she immediately, instead of going, you know, freaking out and doing the standard soap opera thing, like, oh my God, no, it's not true, she was just kind of like, okay. You know, she dealt with it from that perspective.
It's a fascinating study, I think, as a plot line to say, who are you if you don't know what you've been doing for the last whatever years?
Right.
Because it shows the character of the people. It's the same person, but he doesn't have the information of what situation he's in.
Right.
And so I thought it was interesting to see.
Especially like for Taylor. Yeah. Like Taylor's, I love the whole, like I didn't know what war he was talking about. He was in. You're just like, all right, whatever. But I loved his react because he thinks he's going after his wife. And I loved his reaction when he finds out, okay, time's passed. All this is, you know, it's been 20 years later. Your wife is dead.
Yeah.
And he goes, and you want me to remember that? And he's like, and he tries to freaking slit his throat. I thought that was awesome. Because that shows, first of all, how much pain he's in that we just don't know he's
in. That's
true.
It
was a great way to reveal that about the character without having him going, oh my God, I lost my wife and I'm very sad about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was you learned it in 5 seconds. You know, and I thought that was amazing. Of course, I thought it was... The only thing that was silly was because I've seen this plot before in every other sci-fi show where they lose memory. And so the second that Jim had a cold, I was like, oh, the cold's going to make him immune to the memory loss.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I knew that, and then I knew they were going to end up giving everybody a cold, and that was going to fix it. So that was like the the thing that they used.
Apparently, she hadn't seen those episodes. She thought it was an EA instead.
Yeah. But I understood that, that was just like, I was like, okay, that's standard sci-fi storyline. I've seen it a million times.
It
wasn't a surprise, but I like what it revealed about the characters. And I thought that made it worth it, except for, I have to say, all the relationships happening between the teeny boppers, I totally don't care. Like, the oldest boy and his girl, don't care about that. And only thing...
Well, it builds into this plot of the guy who can get it, the fixer who can get, you know, people brought back from the future.
I understand that, but it makes me think his son is so stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where
do kids get these sci-fi sons from?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Seriously.
Because I was like, they were like, well, is your loyalty going to be... Because he very quickly asked him, oh, your father's the sheriff, so is your loyalty going to be to him or to us? And I'm like, really? That you're going to go with...
People you don't know?
Over your father?
Over your biology?
I was
he's
like,
so in love with his girlfriend. And
except that he's totally hooking up with the other girl. That's just like, it's like that I don't believe.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of thing that I do not believe.
There are a lot of things I have to get over in, you know, to suspend my disbelief in the show. You know, it's still fun. You know, it's
I'm totally enjoying the show, except, like, literally every time I see the sun, I totally want to fast forward. The daughter and then her beau, it, for some reason, the age, does the age difference not bother anybody else? Because it feels like he's, like, 25 or something, and she's, like, 14.
Yeah, I can't tell.
It feels weird. Like, I mean... I know she's supposed to be maybe a little bit older because the brother is like maybe he's 17 or 18, which makes her at most 16.
But they say she's very precocious. She's the bright one. She's the
that warmest. Doesn't make it any worse.
I thought she was supposed to be a little bit younger.
Yeah, that's I'm saying. She's young and smart rather than older and just wiser.
Right.
Older
that's why I say I feel like she's like 14.
Right.
So why the heck does the father have no problem with this grown man showing up and trying to date his daughter?
The fact that she's interested and he's interested makes sense, but the father not being
having
like,
an issue.
Whatever.
I'm like, oh, he's coming to dinner and be nice to him. I was like, no. That guy's like at least like 20-something and his daughter's like 14.
Of course, that's the stereotypical dad response, but and maybe they're trying to do something different.
Yeah,
but
still I think that's weird.
Yeah.
Like that I think is weird. I don't have a problem with I don't have a problem with them being attracted to each other, but I think it's weird that the family's so accepting of it, and I don't need to see it. Like that's the other thing. It's like the teenagers and their whole love thing. I don't care, but all the other stuff, which we only spent maybe 5 minutes with, but all the other stuff I was fine with.
This was the second or third episode.
Third.
I want to know more about some of the other characters, like Taylor's other soldiers and stuff.
Well, like his second in command. Like all of a sudden now, I'm like, oh, she's been with him for however many. Okay,
right.
Now she's interesting.
What's her story? Yeah.
Yeah. Now I want to know about her too. Yeah, I think that's all cool.
And some of the other kids. Maybe it might be interesting to see if there's anything interesting about them. See.
So far, no, they just sit around and drink hooch.
Except, what's her name, Sky or whatever. But, yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like a bunch of teenagers living in, or, you know, kids living in this house by themselves, drinking, you know, working their still, and, you know.
And nobody says anything.
Nobody says anything. No parents, no.
Well, because the actors are of age.
So we're supposed
nobody
to...
cares.
Yeah.
But now you know why I was rooting for the dinosaurs during the pilot.
Those teenagers are annoying. All right. Next up, let's talk about NCIS just really quickly because they've been in the last few episodes, they've really been paying attention to character relationships. This week especially, it was all about Abby and finding out that she was adopted and all of that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Abby's adoption story was the highlight of that episode.
Yeah, definitely. And where the heck did they find that guy? Like, he looks like literally they took Abby Shudo and, like, cut her hair and just said she's a guy. I was like, how the heck did they
do... I like
do
that shot through the glass with the reflection.
Oh, right. Because the dude totally looks like her. I was like, is that really her brother? Like, the amount... Like, their eyes are the same, their mouth are the same, their dimples are the same. Like, it was like literally they just said, okay, we're going to dress you as a guy right now. Like, it was so weird. Except his eye color was different. But yeah, I was like, what the heck? And I loved, of course, anytime Abby and Gibbs he needs to comfort her, it makes me go, aw. There was a lot of that going on, because when she finally figures out that she's adopted at the end and she goes to talk to him and she ends up just putting her head on his shoulder, they just sit there on the couch together, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
The surrogate daughter.
That is the show for me. Like, I don't even remember what happened with the case at all. Like, all I care about is the relationship stuff.
Well, those are, yeah, but I mean, that's, even so, I mean, or especially that relationship is probably maybe as much of the heart of the show as anything else.
Right. Especially, I mean, Gibbs and Abby, yeah, I agree.
Because, yeah. I mean, Tony's just a kind of a, you know, whatever, goof off.
Except
yeah.
that he is very much, Gibbs is very much his father, too.
Yes, that's true. There's a father. Gibbs has relationships, strong relationships with all the characters. Between the characters, sometimes it's a little weaker or whatever.
That's true.
Although I like McGee and Abby, too.
I like McGee and Tony, too. Because they're very big brother, little brother.
But the reason why this show is successful, though, is the relationships, the surrogate family.
Right.
And that's, you know, perhaps the reason why this show has the potential to go longer than the show that spawned it. Because they're
I was like, what was the show that spawned it? But then I just remembered.
They're in season 9.
Right.
They're at the top of the ratings. And season 9 was the season that NCIS started and JAG was on the decline. Season 9 of JAG was when NCIS was in season 1.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this goes on longer than that.
Well, he's already got a contract. They've already
through season 10.
Yeah, through season 10. So I think the only thing it's going to be held up with is Mark Harmon might feel like retiring. I think that might
might be able to continue the show without him, though.
I thought about that. I'm not sure if I could watch it.
I think they'd try it.
I'm sure they'd try it. I'm not sure if I would be on board.
They were ready for a quasi spinoff of JAG if they had gotten season 11. But if their ratings stay at the top, there's no way CBS is going to say, oh.
I agree with you, considering what happened to CSI. I totally agree with you on that, but I don't know if I'd be in.
That's the guy?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm sorry.
He looks so much like...
Daniel Lewis-Rivas.
Yeah, he looks completely like Abby. Like, it's really frightening.
Oh, wow. That's good casting.
That's what I said.
Except for he's really young.
But it doesn't matter. He's supposed to be the little brother. It's fine.
Ah, okay.
So, anyway. Next up is Unforgettable. In this week's episode, they still use the whole caveat of, you know, the thing that's weird about the show, every time I watch an episode and they have the opening scene and she's walking to the crime scene, I'm always like, okay, there's a car there.
Right. All right, see if it's the same as when she comes
back. Yeah, yeah. I'm always doing that now and I'm like, is that what they're training us to do? Because I spotted that van and the guy inside the van, which of course comes later. Because they don't focus the camera on anything in specific. They just literally
it's
go
in
straight.
There. Something is in there that you're going to have to remember, or that she's going to remember.
Right, and that's the thing. Is I'm
the
like,
game
okay.
to play to see if you can find out what it
figure
is.
Figure it out, right. And that's pretty much what I do. I was like, okay, there's a guy sitting in a van. All right, there's a guy that's handing him. All right, and there's a little, you know, so I'm always doing that in the very first scene. And then I feel like giving myself a cookie at the end when I'm right to whatever it is that she's supposed to figure out. And this, the thing that's kind of weird also about her relationship with the other cop. The cop that's your ex-boyfriend? The ex-boyfriend? Well, he is in a happy relationship with a new woman. Yet, pretty much almost every episode, she's gone back to them having sex in her memory. You know? And so for her, it's like kind of more present.
Yeah.
So it's sort of weird. It's like...
Well, do we know that how it affects her? I mean, can she turn him on and off at will... And she doesn't have to have those memories if she doesn't want to.
Well, yeah.
Or does it trigger automatically and she's like, oh, here I go, I'm remembering that thing again. It's going to bother
I feel like she's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like,
seems very deliberate.
Very deliberate because she only does... It's not like he'll be talking to her and she'll flash back. It's more like he's said something to her. He's walked away. She's by herself. She's got nothing to do. So she'll go back into that memory and then relive it. And then he'll come back and start talking to her. And she just looks at him and smiles. And I'm like... That's a little weird. Like, so I think that's strange.
She doesn't have a relationship now. She's
yeah, herself. She's single. Yeah, because she slept with the guy from the bar.
Right.
So
she is still on the rebound, maybe? I don't know.
Well, she's the one that broke up. No. Yes. But she broke up with him.
It doesn't matter if you break up or somebody breaks up with you. It's still, there's a loss there that, you
right.
know,
and I, and
if
I,
you're still feeling the loss, then there's some story, some stuff to go on.
Yeah, there's still some emotions, obviously, to go through, but it just... And I also like, well, I didn't like, what is it, last week and the week before, where his girlfriend basically warned her off and was like, leave my man alone kind of deal, which I always find to be trite. I don't find that interesting. But I actually do see that she has a little bit to worry about because obviously she's still got a thing for him. And he does too, but he's... I feel like he wouldn't cheat. I don't think like he would cheat on his girlfriend that he has now.
Again, that's another fine line to, you know, to walk in with relationships. If you're broken up and moving on, but you're still attached. How much attachment is there? How much moving on is there? And we'll see how they treat it.
And
it's treated in a very, you know, dull, ordinary way, or, you know, that we've seen before, or if it's something new, it'll be.
And I feel like it is going to be something new because of how she remembers stuff. And I think that that's actually kind of interesting. And the case was semi-interesting. I mean, the cases on Unforgettable are...
Forgettable?
Right. Well, there's nothing especially... The only thing is the game. You basically play the game if you can figure out what she needs to remember to solve the case.
This was the one that where the building blew up?
Yes, and it was the guy, the killer was actually in prison. And the prison guard is the one who broke him out because he had the perfect alibis. Right. Obviously, I couldn't kill the guy because I was in prison.
Which is kind of a clever setup.
It's pretty, yeah, that was pretty good because, I mean, no one would think that he did it, right? So it was pretty cool that he blackmailed the guard by stealing his son to get himself in and out of the prison in time to kill whoever he needed to kill.
Yeah, at some point I think I figured that the guard was too nice a guy. He wasn't hardened enough to be doing it for the right for his reasons. He was being coerced into doing it.
Well,
so it's like, somebody's
probably... And I also knew the prison guard was involved because the time they come to the prison, he's just like in the background on the phone. But I know that actor. The actor's from True Blood.
Right. Anytime there's an actor you recognize, it's like, he's going to have a part in this thing.
Yes.
He's important because you're paying money for him.
Paying money.
Yeah, because it was literally like she walks by him and he's on the phone and then she doesn't say anything to him. She keeps going. I was like... That's a dude from True Blood. We're coming back to him.
Right.
So, and he actually ended up being, you know, the guy that did everything, but, or started it or whatever. But yeah, he was really nice. But the case was okay. It was a little bit of a mystery to try to figure it out. And she did sound like a nut when she's like, I know this is the person who did the killing because I saw him. And everybody's like, but he's in prison.
Right.
She's like, I know you're saying he's in prison, but he's the one I saw.
Well, if they can believe that she, like, remembers all these things and, you know, has a perfect memory and... And, you know, she saw this crime scene for 30 seconds and knows all these details and, like, can zoom in on the box and whatever, then they got to be able to believe, or at least her ex
He does, except that it seemed really weird that he was trying to block her from that politician. Like, it seemed almost disrespectful the way he was trying to keep her from talking, because apparently he hadn't told anybody about her ability.
Which is
weird.
A new element to the story, too.
Yeah, so she was like, why wouldn't you tell anybody? He's like, oh, because the politics, you don't understand. So basically, he's taking credit for all the stuff that she's solving because he's the head of the department.
It's sort of like the medium dynamic where nobody wants to really admit. Although, I guess at one point they did.
It became a big thing.
Yeah, it became a big thing. Like, oh, you're that psychic who, But initially, it was just her and the DA that had the relationship, and they kept it secret. So,
all right. Let's move on. Sorry. That was actually a good conversation about the show. We usually don't talk about that one. All right. Season premiere of Psych.
Did see.
Oh, but you watched Psych, right?
I watched Psych. I just haven't seen it yet.
The boys are back. That's all I can say.
It was a very James Bondy episode, of course, because he got to wear the tux. And the entire plot was that they were stealing back a child's toy, which is hilarious, because only they...
Well, that was the inciting incident. But.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I think that's hilarious, because like, they're on a job because this one kid stole a toy from another kid, so that kid...
That wasn't just any toy. That was the Darth Vader with a telescoping lightsaber, which, if you know your Star Wars toys, is extremely rare.
That's funny.
I know that because they know that. I bought two Darth Vaders back in 1978 because the first one, well, neither were telescoping, but the first one I ruined by trying to get it to telescope. And I just mangled it, which is why I had to buy a second one.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, so the entire point, and then, of course, they stumble on a dead body and blah, blah, blah. There were holes in this plot, though, I have to say.
The main reason, it seems like one of the main reasons for this episode was that Sean and Juliet are outed as a couple.
Right.
And Lassie, of course, overreacts.
Of course he does. He wants a new partner because she lied to him and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know if she lied as in she just didn't
tell him.
Give him
and he was like, I'm your partner, you're supposed to tell me everything. Whatever, man. So I get that, but the actual plot was like the killer freaking saw him. Obviously,
but can't say anything.
Well, he could say, I saw you in the room, maybe you killed her. He could easily say that. And it totally blows out his whole I'm a psychic thing.
Not when there's all that other circumstantial evidence, though.
Yeah, but it was just like, he was totally outed in that. And I was like, and then his whole defense was, it wasn't me? Are you kidding me? Come on.
Well, there's I'm blowing a psychic cover or whatever. It has been, you know, an ongoing thing. It's like, how can somebody not go, wait a second, I think you just saw this and you figured this out and you deduced that and whatever, rather than thinking, oh, he must be psychic. Or,
right.
Or are they just giving him the benefit of the doubt and not wanting to really
discuss it? I think the police chief doesn't want to touch it.
The show's in an alternate reality. Yeah, to begin with, okay. I would suspect that they're going somewhere with this guy behind bars knowing that Sean is not psychic.
Right. Well, and I like the fact that why would the dad teach his son to beat a lie detector? That was just ridiculous.
Dad taught Sean a lot of things that most fathers don't teach their
sons. He taught him how to break out of a trunk of a car. He taught him all... So, like, they show him teaching his son how to beat the lie detector. And so then when Sean does it later, the father's just looking and is like, oh, he did that thing I taught him. Like, really?
Doing that thing we do.
Oh, but anyway, it was a good opener.
It's psych. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's a fun show. You're not supposed to take it that seriously.
Yeah, long, short on reality, long on laughs.
Yes, and I love their riffs. That is good.
I think my favorite moment is with the kids.
Oh, when they were trying to barter the piece.
They're trying to negotiate with the kids, and then Gus just hates this.
Yeah, stop holding me back! Stop holding me back! And I was like, you can't beat up a 10-year-old. Come on. But anyway, let's wrap that one up. Let's talk about Modern Family. Did you see it?
Really?
Are you watching Modern Family?
Don't watch it, no.
Love it.
This is my shocked face.
take a still, put it up on the podcast.
Modern Family was good this week. It was...
Why won't you let me help you?
Oh, right. It was Gloria was trying to help everyone, and everybody would. Every time she offered help, everybody was like, no, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Why was she clumsy and hurting
It's just that she has a really thick accent. So some people kind of assume she doesn't know anything.
The joke in the opening line is, Manny wants to be homeschooled. You want me to learn you English?
Okay. And then Manny's like, okay, not a good idea. But yeah, everybody has a problem, and she's really determined to solve somebody's problem. So the whole episode is she kind of goes from person to person trying to solve the different people, trying to get them to help.
Well, that's one plot line.
That's one. And the other one is, what's her name? She wants to run for
Claire
government.
Claire wants to run for office. City council.
That's silly, because her in power would be scary. That would be a scary thing to see.
And then the third plot line was,
Jay?
The accident.
Oh, what accident?
They get in the car accident. They get the hit and run.
Oh, right. I don't remember the hit and run.
You remember the hit and run? They're stopped and somebody rear ends them and then...
Oh, that was Cam. Yeah, Cam and Mitchell. I was thinking the other guys. I was like, okay.
And it's like, daddies are fighting. We're not fighting. Go play with your blocks.
And it's like, we're fighting because... Yeah, and Mitchell is such a... Like, he's such a wuss. He's like, no, we should be the better people and walk away from the conflict. And I was like, not if somebody hit your car and drove off. I don't think that there's a higher ground on that, you know.
I'm sorry. I would be really suspicious. These days, I would just take a quick iPhoto picture license plate.
Yeah, they're sitting up there talking. And I was like, they didn't get the license. Like, that's the first thing you do is get the license plate. So and so then, I like when they showed up at that guy's house who does the illegal... photos or whatever, and he's like, oh, I'll just go get the money, and he walks away, and they're like, oh, he was very nice, and he like tries to make a run for it, and they just tackle him and they pull his pants down and everything. Like, oh, I'm missing these pants. Where'd you get these from? Like,
just
all
the
that
sight
was...
of Mitchell's or sorry of not Mitchell of Cam sprawled on top of the guy. I mean, this show does not... it kind of operates in reality sometimes, but this one was one of the more alternate reality Looney Tunes moments.
It was great. That was pretty funny.
I think there's a lot of Looney Tunes moments for that show.
It's a great show. It's the number one comedy. Come on.
Okay.
Ratings-wise and Emmy-wise.
Yes.
The conclusion and the tag of how Gloria is able to help Jay, though, is classic.
Oh, right. Use her assets.
Basically, the young guy... of the businessman that Jay has dealt with for years. The son has ousted the father. And so he the young guy, played by one of the kids from Freaks and Geeks, is like, I want to look at something and go, wow! Right. And so Jay just shows this old closet. No, he has Gloria bend over in a low-cut dress with this closet, and the kid's like, wow. and then they cut to Jay. It's like, yep, same design I've been doing for years.
That was all pretty good.
So who do you think the smartest character on that show is?
Claire. And
the smartest?
Actually, Claire,
I think it's Alex.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, in school, she's the girl.
Alex is the middle child.
She's really smart. I give you that, but she doesn't necessarily make good decisions.
No. Well, she's young. That's
I know. That's why I'm not giving her
credit.
She's
book smart.
She's the one with the glasses?
She's the one with the glasses that always makes fun with Haley.
I'd still say that's Claire.
Those kids are great, though. All of them.
The oldest one, not so much. She's such a dingbat.
Haley? Oh, but I think she plays it to a T.
That's true. I like Luke, because Luke does ridiculous
stuff.
That
kid is, he's literally in Mensa. He's super smart.
But I like the fact that Luke does really stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's great. All right, let's wrap it up. Next is Big Bang.
Did you want me to talk about American Horror Story real quickly?
Okay,
cool. It's on Wednesday nights. I have watched the pilot in episode 2, and I don't know what to make of this. It's from the creators, it's from the Nip/Tuck guy, Ryan Murphy, and Brad Falchuk, his collaborator on Glee, but man,
is it scary? I heard it was scary.
It's intense, and there are some moments that could probably make you jump, especially if you're watching at 10 when it's broadcast. But just the weird, they move into a Connie Britton and Dylan McDermott are married. He's a therapist. I'm not sure exactly what her job was. But they're having marital problems. He was cheating. They move into a haunted house where all kinds of crazy stuff is going on. Jessica Lange is the crazy neighbor. She has a Down syndrome daughter who seems to be able to sneak into the house at will. And then Frances Conroy from 6 Feet Under plays the former housekeeper whom Dylan McDermott always sees as a young woman and wants to do things with her. But everybody else sees as, you know, as an older Frances Conroy. It's just all over the place.
So,
it's crazy.
I was going to say, are you saying we should watch it or we shouldn't watch it? I can't.
I think it's either love it or hate it, and I'm going to give it the first couple episodes before I decide
whether you love it or hate it.
Whether I love it or hate it, but the excess, the moment which is startling in the pilot at least, is Dylan McDermott. We keep seeing his backside, and I like him as an actor. I could see less with less of seeing his backside, but basically he is literally aroused by Frances Conroy's younger self, whom only he sees, which is just weird because he's getting ready to jump her bones, and everybody else sees Frances Conroy. So they're like, "What's going on?" No, she's a real person, but he always sees her as she was.
Okay.
It's very, the editors on the show do an amazing job because editing is amazing. He's psychoanalyzing this kid who's got the hots for the daughter, which of course makes the, but the highlight in the pilot is they find this crazy bondage-y latex suit, and Rubber Man comes to Connie Britton and they have sex. But she thinks it's Dylan McDermott, and apparently it's not Dylan McDermott, and we've been told they haven't had sex for a year, and now she's pregnant, so we're meant to think that it's Rubber Man's child. It's just all over the place. I kind of want to say, Ryan Murphy, Brad Falchuk, please take some mood-dampening drugs and tell us a coherent plot line. Episode 2 was a home invasion where apparently the crazy kid is being psychoanalyzed, and the daughter killed the home invaders. Whatever. So, make of it what you will. I don't know what to make of it.
I was about to say, okay, that wasn't exactly...
It's shot well.
All right, Big Bang. This was the big special Star Trek episode. What'd you think?
I saw it. I don't watch it regularly, but I saw this because Will Wheaton was on, and I like how he plays either himself or, you know,
the
refers
version
to himself... Yeah, or the evil version of himself. Not exactly a real life, but he plays the Will Wheaton character or whatever.
He was particularly nice this week, which was weird.
I want to know, is that a ploy?
Yeah.
It feels like a ploy. Because
when
normally
they play the character,
he's evil.
He's got something up his sleeve.
in normally in the show he does?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
always playing Leonard.
He's
or
always
Sheldon,
working
sorry.
He's always working an agenda.
Yeah, because there wasn't an explanation for why he's being nice this week.
Right, exactly. That's why I thought it was weird.
But they let Brent Spiner be the jerk.
Yeah.
The, the,
but the thing about that is that's totally what would happen if you ran into one of those celebrities that you see at all these cons, and it's like, I want to sign whatever. He said, what did he say, $15? I was like,
no, 20.
No, 20. Actually, it would have been 50. Like, yeah. If you had really walked up to Brent Spiner, he'd have been like 50.
But I love the bargain. 2 for $30 and you come to my birthday party.
And yeah. He's like, deal.
Yeah, deal.
And I was like, yeah, he's not showing up to your birthday party. But I really did think that was all pretty funny. And I like that Sheldon was operating on the assumption that Leonard was his friend and not his friend simultaneously. So the dual dialogue.
Relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the fact that Penny actually... Because they've had this discussion about the cat, like, on several episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So I like the fact that she actually retained that.
Yeah.
And was like, yes, the cat's dead or alive. Then we actually put a cat through a shredder. We're pretty sure that one was dead. And Amy Farrah Fowler's fascination with Penny is actually getting a little...
Which one's Amy Fowler?
Amy, the girl with the glasses.
She's never had a best friend before. I don't think she's had any friends before.
Right, so it's bordering on sexual. It's kind of weird.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to do the single white female thing.
Oh, that she's going to become Penny?
Well, that she's going to try to become Penny.
Oh, right.
I thought for some reason that she was, that there was some guy that she had was involved with that Penny was, or that there was a fighting over a man kind of dynamic with
no, him. No, no, well, no. Because Penny is, if she's interested in any guy, it's Sheldon. But Sheldon's not interested in any woman, so it's kind of weird.
Sheldon?
Yeah, her and Sheldon.
Amy?
Yeah, her Amy? And Amy and Sheldon.
Well, they had this weird,
Amy,
they had this weird, non,
oh,
they had this weird non-relationship.
Right.
Right.
And when he thought.
They're confidants or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Sheldon thought that Leonard had slept with Amy, he karate chopped
him.
Oh,
he was very, very angry.
Yes.
And what about, what's his name, the astronaut-to-be or whatever.
Oh.
Wallowitz. His relationship, yeah.
Wallowitz.
Oh, and Bernadette?
Yeah, Bernadette totally did sabotage him.
However, comma.
I would send him into space. I would not send Wallowitz into space.
Over my dead body is my son going into space.
You know that they had her introduce the panel at Comic Con this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, I was there.
The mother?
I
yeah.
cannot get in. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Let me get in.
I was like, I was at the panel. Of course I know that.
But it's nice that at least one of them is in a relationship.
Yes, but I don't understand why she's with him.
I really don't.
He
might actually be, dare I say, good in bed.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's
don't
the,
make
that
me picture
that.
I'm sorry, that's the...
That's the only explanation you can come up with?
You know, those leopard sheets or whatever.
Well, he's got them.
I'm sorry, the moment we turn
the
lightsabers
on.
That was funny too, yes, that was funny.
That was pretty good, yeah. So, thumbs up this week. I want to see if he gets to, Wallowitz gets to go into space. All right. Wrapping up, next up is Vampire Diaries. And this week, so much crap happened. Oh my gosh.
I love the fact that they didn't wait. They didn't wait for, you know, X part of the episode to get to the fact that Klaus finds out that she's alive. It's like, boom, Elena's alive.
And what, they killed Tyler in the first 15 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap.
To anybody who poo-poos Vampire Diaries, these showrunners know how to move their plots.
And they
it's
kill
like a,
people.
It's like, Zaptuit.com did a list. 33 people have died on Vampire Diaries before this episode. Before this episode. And those were 33 recurring characters, not
right.
just some schmuck on the street.
Right. They kill people on this show.
Yeah,
like,
do.
You're like, holy crap.
I was concerned for...
And they had freaking boy in the trunk, the brother.
Oh, Jeremy.
They had Jeremy in the trunk? I was like, what the heck? Like, oh, there was so much stuff happening this
week.
I was
seriously concerned that Matt was not going to survive.
Oh, yeah. Because
I don't trust Vicky's ghost.
I don't either. Yeah.
And
he, like, drowns himself to talk to his dead sister. I was like, that's not a good plan.
Not a good plan. But I was seriously wondering if he was going to survive the episode.
Right. Oh, man. That was incredible. Like, so much stuff happened. And...
Another watch.
And it's not because you don't have the episodes, because I've given to you twice.
I know, I watched the first season.
Oh.
I didn't tell you, but I watched the whole first season. It's okay. I mean, I'm not loving it. And then you're like, I'm in over the moon because it's a great show. And I'm like,
I think we're over the moon because it's better written as a whole than True Blood.
Yeah.
That well, too. Also, I'm sure it's, I'm sure that, but, it just, it's not my genre. It's not,
not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea.
No problem.
It's well done, but it's not something that I'm going to watch on a recurring basis. But if you turn it on, I'm not going to, you know, walk out or anything. So
I think it's really
Oh, and they introduced the guy that can kill Klaus. I forgot about that.
You know what's interesting is we've already seen his doppelganger.
What?
We've already seen his doppelganger when they were in Chicago or wherever.
No, that's the same guy.
No, that's the doppelganger of that guy who's in the coffin.
No, are you sure?
I am positive it's the same actor.
Okay. Well, I know it's the same actor, but I think what they were saying was after Chicago, he got captured and put in there.
No, I think he's been dead. He's supposed to have been dead for a long time.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, now I gotta go. We got okay. Somebody on. Somebody tell us if we're right or wrong. Send me feedback.
This is the reason because his existence is supposed to be a long kept secret. Remember?
Right.
And his whereabouts are supposed to be a long kept secret. But we saw that actor.
Well, I know that.
Right.
But they all the secret. But I was pretty sure when they went in to get his body, they said that the whoever put him there did it. More recently, because Chicago was like in the 40s or the 30s or something like that. It was during, no, it's during Prohibition,
thought,
it was the 30s.
I thought it was the cop in present day.
No.
We'll have to double check.
Anyway,
I'm loving the series, how they push those storylines, and...
Well, because I just like the fact that, okay, we meet Catherine, and it's like, oh my god, Catherine's super powerful. And then we meet Klaus, and you're like, oh my god, Klaus is super powerful. And then we meet this guy.
Is it Joseph? Or
I forgot what his name is, but now he's like,
he's even more super powerful. And Catherine, of course, proves she's on no one's side but her own.
Exactly. It's great.
We would expect no less.
Wrapping that up, next up is
Secret Circle. Death.
So now we have... Oh, they freaking kill somebody!
Death.
I was like, I did not see... I kept waiting for him to come back. You know, like, nope, he's dead. Everybody's crying. We've moved on. There's the lesson. But I thought they needed six for the circle.
They do.
So what
the
heck?
Did the mother come over and use her stones and bring him back?
No. Nope.
Principal Mom Stone is depleted.
The mom is dead?
Or
the mom's dead. Okay.
Grandma has one. Did you recognize the grandmother, by the way? She was the cheerleader's adoptive mom on Heroes.
Oh.
It's like, it's kind of scary that she's now playing a grandmother. It's like, this is the alternate universe where you're going to have a child and, you know, your aunt is in her early 20s and your mother is in their early, grandma's in their 40s.
But I think this is the episode where Secret Circle stepped it up and
well,
showed us that they will kill people.
They're not playing. But it's interesting because the commercials actually said, what will they do? The circle is broken. And they broke the circle.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's going to happen.
But does that mean that they all get their powers back? Does that mean they have no powers at all?
No, they still have powers, but they, I think they're, for lack of a better word, more chaotic magic. It's going to be probably more random and they have less control.
Well, because it'll be like what they were before they made the circle.
Here's what I want to know. Why did Principal Mom, why does she not like Witch Dad that much?
I just think she's not interested.
But it seems like something happened between them in the past that...
Well, I feel like he's interested.
Oh, he's definitely interested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ashley Crowe.
Yeah, I think he's definitely interested, and she's just
not at all.
But
you'd think that, I'm a witch, you're a warlock.
Let's get it on. Yeah, but I guess it's different. They've known each other their entire lives.
But
so if nothing has happened to them before now...
Now, obviously, she feels indebted to him, although he's racked with guilt because... It's funny. He didn't mind killing the lead blonde character's mom.
But he said, it was a kid.
It was a kid.
Yeah, it's a
kid.
And
it was a kid possessed by a demon.
Yeah, but it's still a kid, and he knew that kid since he was born.
True.
So that's like... I get why he feels guilty about it.
What's that old saying? If you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs?
Well, that's what she said, and he's... But the thing is... He does whatever she tells him to do, and I think now he might not. Like, doing whatever she told him to led him to that, and so I think he might not do everything she tells him to do.
I wonder if they're going to kind of reverse it where she feels indebted to him, and he's like, you remind me I did this horrendous thing.
Right, and so, right. Okay, I can see that. I like that the grandmother knows the secret now.
Yes.
like that, because she freaking knows spells.
Oh, so, yeah, she does.
They realized very quickly they were in over their heads. They didn't know how to fight a demon. Their friend's possessed. They don't know. It's about to let out a bunch of more demons. They have no clue what to do. And so they're like, I think we need reinforcements. So, and the other kids were like, we can't tell our parents because they'll be mad. I was like, seriously? I think this is about where you break that rule. You know, you're way over your head right now.
I think it's interesting that we had complained how that relationship between Nick and the witch he was interested in was going nowhere.
Right.
And I'm like, that they, okay, we're going to take this somewhere, but you're not going to like how it is.
Exactly. That was pretty good. So, yeah, Secret Circle has now stepped it up a notch. They have my respect. I like it. All right, next up is Person of Interest. And this week's episode was actually really pretty good. I really liked it.
I really liked it. And Linda Cardellini was the person this week. And the misdirect is that you think she's going to be the victim.
Right, that there's a sexual predator, and he was looking at her.
Oh, yeah. But the reveal is that she was going to turn the tables on him to avenge her sister,
right,
whom he had date raped in college, and then she ended up committing suicide.
Right. I thought that was a really good moral quandary, because I was kind of like, totally let her do it, man.
Like, well, but I like that. Oh, by the way, he's Batman.
Thank you. That was awesome.
He's Batman.
Yeah. Well, somebody else was talking about that. He's Batman, and Emerson is actually Bruce Wayne and
Alfred,
right,
in one. But no, he's totally Batman. He doesn't have a costume, doesn't have a cape. He is totally Batman.
I love
Jim Caviezel's character.
I love that scene at the end.
Ooh.
Because they don't tell you what he does. And I like that.
What Jim Caviezel does when he's got the
bad guy at the end. He's got the gun on the table, and he's trying to decide whether to kill him or not. And so they have this conversation. They're going back and forth.
And then they cut to black.
And I was like, kill him! Kill him!
Yeah, I remember what...
Well, because the whole thing at the end is, should I kill you or should I let you go and let you know that I'm watching?
Because he knows now that she's the bad guy and whatever. But
No. It's the when he has the bad guy.
The other bad guy. The girl, the woman who's been who's trying to avenge her sister.
Right.
You know, it's attempted murder, basically. So he knows that she was trying to kill him, you know, so they can't just let him go because they've decided that she's okay, she's not going to do it again or whatever, and
right,
so they can't just let him go back and to decide what to do with him.
Well, there's that, yeah, and he basically gives the options to the guy because at first he's like, okay, here are the options. I can let you go knowing that I'm watching you your whole life, and if you step out of line, I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to stop you. Or
I can just take you
out. I can just kill you now.
Right.
And so what's interesting is when he lets the guy to defend himself, Mr. Charming, because everybody says he's super charming, everybody loves him. But when his life is on the line and he has to come up with a reason for someone not to kill him, he's got nothing.
He's got nothing.
And I think that that's great. I thought that was a really interesting moment. And he tries to appeal to him and say, well, you're not the type of guy that would kill anyone and blah, blah,
blah. Wrong.
That's
again. You haven't met me.
Exactly. So I like that. And I like just the emotion that was in the scene. Like, Caviezel really, it was all in his eyes.
I like,
he's very understated.
I forget.
Yeah, it was really, I really liked it.
Somebody was saying how, one of our panelists a couple weeks ago.
That they didn't like Caviezel.
They can't stand Caviezel.
Right.
I love him because I love the fact that he's not big showy, that he's more intense.
He's very understated.
Yeah.
He's very understated. Yeah. It's like, I can kill you. Tell me why I shouldn't.
Right. And he's like, and don't lie to me. Because the second he tried to lie, he pulled the gun closer. He's like, okay, I'm not going to lie now. You know, so that scene was the highlight of the whole episode.
Although, I love how they've been maneuvering the chess pieces around.
Oh, with the cops?
So now you have the corrupt cop keeping an eye on the good cop.
Right.
I guess going to impede her investigation.
Right. But I like the
fact... Or just at least feed information.
What was funny, though, is when she went to go interview Emerson's character, Finch? Yeah.
Finch.
When she went to go... I was like,
that
he
was
has
brilliant.
Some random house that he has, like, is a fake house,
dude.
Or whatever.
Oh, he's got it all set up, I'm
Damn.
Sure.
He's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he had the whole fake setup and...
fake job, fake cover.
Yeah, he's totally playing his injury and all of that, and he's like, oh, I'm just super helpless guy. And
yeah, I was...
Although
I was,
he does have an injury.
Yeah, I know.
I was impressed how he... You know, had the story and he was able to kind of, you know, wheel a deal and tell the whole story and make it sound convincing
but,
and, you know.
But remember, Emerson won an Emmy playing Ben Linus on Lost. And
sure,
that
same
guy
kind
talked,
of thing, yeah.
And that guy talked,
you believed
all, you,
his lies.
All you knew is his mouth was moving.
He was lying. Everything else was lies. Yeah.
But as I was talking to David before we started the podcast, I think one of the reasons this is struggling a little bit in the ratings is it's not your typical procedural. This isn't a CSI or a Law & Order where you know what the show is as soon as you start watching. You have to pay attention because they may reveal who's the victim, who's the perpetrator. It could be in Act 2 or it could be in Act 3, Act 4.
Right.
So it's a twist that might be too smart for some audiences.
Yeah. Right. And it's Jonah Nolan. This is the guy. This was the brainchild. This is the guy behind Memento.
It's I like it. I totally.
I do too. I think
this episode, because before I was like, I liked the pilot, but I wasn't sure about the next episode. No, actually, I didn't really like the pilot. I liked the next episode.
Pilot was okay.
Right. And then this episode, I think, really sold me. I think I'm in. I think this is it.
Yeah, they're starting to do some interesting things and, you know, take advantage of the setup.
Right. All right. Next up is Supernatural.
Boy, Dean.
His
thou art so lucky.
Oh yeah, it's like, let's bring our last witness up. No, that's all right. I'm good. We don't need another witness.
I just want to know who that last witness would have been.
You know who it was going to be. It was going to be the girl he killed last week.
Probably.
Yeah, and that would have destroyed his relationship with Sam. Him and Sam would
Although
have been done.
I submit that I feel that secret's going to be out sooner versus later.
I do feel like that might come out, but I actually really don't want it to come out. Because I really think it... Because of all the things that they've weathered through however many seasons the show's been on...
This is 7.
Yeah. This might be it. This might be that straw
yeah.
that broke the camel's back, you know?
I don't disagree with you.
So I was like, normally I'm all about, you know, be honest with the person, get it out in the open, discuss it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, dude, never tell him. You know, I was like, that is not something you can ever tell him. And that's the kind of thing where I think that if it's a secret that you can never tell somebody, you probably shouldn't do it. You know, that's kind of like how I see, if you are
in real life, yes, but in television and film, no.
that's how I try to live my life. All right, so this week's episode was a weird standalone yet continuous, and they brought in Osiris, and I thought the Osiris thing was kind
of
lame.
Yeah, again, the story of the week wasn't as interesting as in what it caused is our character relationships. I mean, face it, Supernatural is basically an anthology.
Right.
Except for it has this big, huge story arc.
Okay.
Which, you know, which is common these days. Because otherwise it's just the monster of the week.
Right. And the payoff is you know the characters. If you didn't know the characters walking into this episode, it would be boring. So the whole episode was about weighing Dean's guilt. Which is everything. That's all he carries is guilt.
Which is interesting because you wonder if there was like a lie detector test, like Sean Beats on Psych, or a guilt detector test, would he really have passed it?
No, not really. No. He carries so much guilt for so many different things. There's because they say the test for Osiris is your guilt has to weigh less than a feather, right? So there's no way that his guilt is less than a feather.
He would have been doomed. Well, the thing is, the only thing that really saved him is the fact that.
Yeah, because
Osiris got ganked by
Sam, and he goes into a synagogue and steals their the sacred emblem
sacred,
or whatever.
Sacred
horn. They're like, where are we gonna find a ram's horn at this time of night? That's pretty good. But yeah, that was a good episode, and I liked the return of Joe. Even though in life Joe I found was slightly irritating, as a ghost she was kind of cool. So there you go. All right, next up, Fringe.
Hmm?
They finally brought back
finally,
our boy.
Yeah.
Finally, but he's in a weird universe where nobody knows who he is.
Well, he's in the new Fringeverse.
Yes,
right.
The merged orange universe.
Right, and everything is different, and everything is the same. So it's really bizarre because I always like when they're talking about stuff. I'm like, okay, because history has changed in this universe, so I'm never sure of their real backstory. And I was like, oh. She doesn't know that she can jump universes on her own. Because remember when the guy asked her what her powers were?
What was changed when he disappeared, other than he's not there?
Everything. Like, anytime he talks to somebody and comes up with an idea that happened in the regular universe, all that's gone. So everything's different. So
everything he touched is gone.
Right. Hmm. So everything is different. So she doesn't know that she can jump between universes. She can do it with her mind.
He started that?
I don't know if he started it, but...
she did that when she was a kid.
No, she didn't jump universes when she was a kid. She set fire to a room when she was a kid, but she never jumped universes.
There was some scene where she was talking to Walter and said, I went there and I came back or whatever.
No, not when she was a kid. She did it as an adult.
Oh, okay.
And an adult, she's done it several times. Hmm. But she doesn't know that she can do it. And I'm just like, that's so weird. So then I was kind of like, well, how'd they discover the other universe? Oh, because Walter did. Never mind. So there's
because the events still, some of the events still happen, right. But young Peter drowned.
Right.
But that's really confusing because it's like, which events was he attached to and which wasn't?
Exactly.
Yeah. Fringe. Of course it's confusing.
Okay.
But that's kind of cool. I do, however, I hope they don't do like Eureka did where they reset and they kept the reset. I do want to go back to the original.
Well, why... So you're saying what would be so great about back to the original?
Because there's certain things that happen in that universe that I like. The fact that she's got powers. She doesn't know that she has the powers.
Oh, I think she still does.
Discover her powers in this
one? Yeah, I know, but I don't like that Peter and Walter don't know each other. That's kind of weird.
Couldn't they build a relationship?
What you're saying, but I don't like it.
But the episode from last week, the whole point of it seemed to be, or last week or 2 weeks ago, was that even if somebody is erased from your memory, they're still...
I understand. You still know them. Infer their existence. But basically, everything we've seen for the last three seasons has been wiped.
I think we're going to find out it's been altered. That they've had these cases, but Peter has intimate knowledge of them, but Peter was not there in this universe.
Yeah, I don't particularly like that. I thought in Eureka it was fun because Eureka is a fun show, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
I think it's going to be more complicated here than Eureka. Just used it as a way to do a soft reboot,
right,
of certain things. I think here it is the crux of everything that's been going on.
Well, right. Yeah, and that's what showing the Observer at the end. It's like what is their involvement now in this
merged universe?
Yeah, merged universe. So, I mean, they're still around. They're still doing something. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I don't know.
It is very confusing, and that's good and bad, because you want to be confused enough to be intrigued, but not so much that you're lost. And yeah,
right.
Your brain hurts.
All right. So, I still think thumbs up. I'm glad they brought him back,
They brought him back so quickly. I thought it was going to be later in the season, but I'm happy.
I thought my prediction was right before November sweeps.
Right, because now it's all about he has all this knowledge that they don't have, and right. So that's kind of interesting. All right, so that's it for this week. If you want some feedback, send us in some feedback and give us answers to our arguments and conversations. You can send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And we're also on getthepointradio.com and Krypton Radio. So I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.